Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Micha Turcic.
Spela Petric.
George Beckett.
Micha and Spela, you are both artists. Micha known for work also related to space, outer space projects. Spela more into biology. You're also a true professional biologist and a bio artist. And George, you are a project manager at the Edinburgh University and working in scientific computing. And the three of you are part of the FEED project. FEED is a European Union co-funding program in which artists are put in residence within FED, that is Future Emerging Technology Consortium. There are research scientific projects, and the goal of the FEED, which is Future Emerging Art and Technology, is to explore unconventional ways of thinking and of creativity. So Micha and Spela, before we dig into your collaboration with George and the team on this FEED project, can you explain in a few sentences what you're doing and in general as artists, and what kind of other collaborations you do or don't do, and what is your relation to this art and science field?
Actually, my background is in science and biology, after which I started working with the same subject, which is living organisms, but in an artistic context. So collaboration with scientists is not new to me, and you know, it's not that I am this omnipotent know-it-all that can actually work on my projects on my own just because I have a scientific background. No, it's really about collaboration. Perhaps it's just easier, having come from this scientific mind frame, to try to understand the scientists, perhaps sometimes communicate with them. So I've been, I've had the opportunity to work with various scientists, from biochemists to marine biologists. Most recently, I'm working on plant tissue cultures in Leiden University. So it's always wet and collaborative.
My background is in industrial design, but I was never so much into the use of object than more into the understanding of the objects. That's why I finished in art. And also in kind of a unique form of art, it's art out of our planet. So the questions of form, the questions of objects, the question of human, being a human out from our planet. Art is one of the fields that is really not so much represented into this effort. So it's kind of a niche, and I understand it as a big opportunity. But on the other side, also, I understand it as an urgent field to work on, to research these typical questions. How does it feel to be human out from our planet? What are the forms of being a human? What are the satellites? What is space technology? How it presents human? How is it human? I mean, it's really about this becoming non-terrestrial human.
So first of all, I would like you, George, to explain what your FED project is, and something very complex for a lay person, that is exascale supercomputing.
So actually, I represent six FED projects from a Horizon 2020 program called Future Emerging Technology in High Performance Computing. And we are looking very specifically at supercomputing, which is an area of scientific computing dedicated to the most difficult or the most ambitious science modeling problems that are being tackled today, and developing the technologies and the techniques that will allow future science projects to run simulations analysis at what's called exascale, which is the next milestone for supercomputing, when we achieve 1 quintillion calculations per second.
Why were you open to host artists in residence within the FED project?
I discovered FEAT at the beginning of the year, and I thought this was an unusual and very interesting opportunity that had been brought about by the European Union. And in particular, it allowed a reasonably narrow field of supercomputing and the people that are involved in that field to actually expose their work to a critical eye and a different type of critical eye. Typically, supercomputing is focused very much on science and engineering, and we have currently only a modest overlap with more artistic aspects of life. And so having Spiele and Mihai able to sort of immerse themselves in the world of supercomputing and then to give us their comment and their critique on that was very important, both for us to properly understand what we do and the context of what we do and the justification for what we do, but also to understand how other people see the work that we do and value or dismiss that.
Future, emerging art, and technology.
Mihai and Spiele, supercomputing is not your first field of research, so why did you choose this FET project and not go into, for instance, bio art, which is something you have been strongly involved in before?
So actually the process of the selection of the topic was specific, and it led to us choosing this. So there was a matchmaking session where we learned of about 10 or 15 different FET projects. Some were such that we kind of felt very comfortable with, you know, we sort of recognized our work within what they were exploring. And it was, those were the ones that were connected with some sort of robotic artificial entities, which is, you know, the entities are something that we are concerned with anyway. Supercomputing was a big mystery, but it was actually George that provoked us with I think one of the key statements was that here are these supercomputers that would, in order to sort of run the next exascale vision, you would require almost a whole power plant to power it, which was a bit of a shock in the sense of how expensive this thing is. And at the same time, it connects to the whole discourse on algorithmic cultures, which we are immersed in. So computation is an increasingly important aspect of our society. And because we haven't dealt with it before, we thought it would be a great opportunity to actually delve into this wider topic. And that's why we chose George.
We work at the intersection between, let's say, ecology and technology. And supercomputers, as presented by George, they were just that object in our society that have influence, impact, at the same time on what we know and the whole environment, obviously, because of all this consumption and because of all this knowledge produced. And we recognize this field as something that could really contribute to our understanding of our own work. So we really saw an opportunity to go beyond our typical artistic pathologies. So what we're already in, we just wanted to go beyond ourselves. And also what we expected then from this project was really to find something new with the scientists, with the supercomputer technologies, not just simple understanding of the regular computer technologies, because supercomputers are different.
The FEAT project is starting and your collaboration is starting. So far you don't have any concrete, I suspect, thing to propose. But could you explain where you stand within the project at the moment?
I mean, the time scale for the whole project is quite short. the fact that the residency anticipates the production of an art piece, of course, if you are in the field, it's easy. You just produce your next piece. But since we really want to dig into the topic, and we are spending most of the time on the art research, not the production of the art piece, and especially because this topic of supercomputers is in the phase of redefining itself, because they are in the next, they are in their own milestone of from one generation of computers into the next generation of computers. So the project itself became more a research than a production of an art piece. And we are just in this, I mean, in realization that it's way more important to understand the topic itself than to produce something. Of course, at the end, we will produce something. But in this phase, first 2 months, actually, we recognize that research is way more important. And we are dedicating more and more energy into the research of one side, understanding science, understanding art, and also understanding philosophy and maybe critique of science. Because we actually have to define the project itself, not just the art piece as an outcome.
George, what were your expectations and how do you see the process unfolding? Was it your first time you were collaborating with artists?
It was, yes, or it is. I think I was pretty open-minded about what could come out of this collaboration. I didn't have any preconceived expectations about the particular collaboration itself, but where I saw benefit for the project I'm involved with, which is called Intertwine, which is actually looking at a very specific aspect of how to build an exascale computer. The context is only really explained if you look at the whole FET HPC program, which involves 19 different projects, including technology projects, including application areas, such as Spieler had said, the team in Reading that are working on next generation climate models that will exploit exascale computing. The only way to really encapsulate the whole problem is to have a collaborative dialogue. And in fact, by working with the artists, it is another opportunity for my project to collaborate and to have ongoing conversations with the other FET HPC projects. So in some ways, what you're doing is bringing the HPC projects together. As Mihai said, there is a significant challenge for supercomputing on the horizon in that we're striving to build an exascale supercomputer, probably around the end of this decade or early in the new decade. We really have to properly justify the reasons for doing that. We understand why it's important to have these large-scale apparatus and the real transformational benefits that science can get from these apparatus, but they are very expensive. They are very difficult to build, and they require a sustained and significant investment from sponsors and funders such as the European Union. In terms of the project, as I say, we were pretty open, but this was a way of uniting all the parties involved and actually helping them to start to think about that justification process. Having been involved with the project, I also see this collaboration at another level, if you like. In March, we had what was called a matchmaking meeting in Amsterdam, where the artists and the potential science projects first met, exchanged ideas, and eventually the artists got to choose their preferred projects. And it was clear there that some scientists had prior experience of working in these kind of collaborations, and that they were all very enthusiastic and saw great benefit in them. I hope FEAT, which is a relatively small investment, will actually be able to showcase the benefits of this kind of collaboration between artists and scientists and break down those sort of traditional boundaries or silos that exist so that future iterations of FEAT or something similar can actually tackle grander scale, ambitious collaborations.
George said that for him, it was to have a different angle on what he's doing and what him and his colleagues are doing. and that UV artists wear a kind of oil, you know, going into the mechanism and bonding everybody. And this is what one of the FIT project goal, that is to have a different point of view and a different angle on what science and research is and what they are doing. Now, I think, what is it for the artist? Is it to bring also a new grammar in their artworks, a new direction in their artworks? And both of you, Miha and Spela, you said you wanted to go out of your comfort zone and do something different from what you're accustomed to do. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
So the first point of the comfort zone, going outside of the comfort zone, is the topic itself. And both of our artistic practices always lead us, the topic itself, the content, is kind of what dictates the manifestation. At this point, we haven't yet been that concerned with the, let's say, the final result, the aesthetic. And we are just sort of trying to grasp the possible methodologies that would be involved. You know, one of the misconceptions that I had personally going into this project is that what I mentioned actually earlier, you know, it has to do with computing. This should be relevant, completely relevant. It should kind of touch everything we do. Every pore of our society is somehow influenced by this. And what George keeps repeating is that these machines are so specialized. They're running a sort of type of new scientific experiment called simulation. So I think that the people in this particular FET project sort of see as disconnected from the general trends in society, where computing seems to be kind of the way that society is organized, ruled, you know, commercialized, etc. So what is going on? How come that the scientists do not recognize the connection? Is it because there is none? Or is it just one that they are somehow blind to because of the doctrine of science, which sort of infers this subjectivity, that there is no moral bias to the research that they do? However, the knowledge that is produced, the methods that are produced, the algorithms that are employed are sort of perhaps trickling down into more banal pores of society, which is where they have the everyday impact. But then, first of all, the question is, where does this happen? So where is this border? Where is this edge? You know, how do you connect the two spheres? We haven't found really the solution to this. And then the second question is, when it comes to this statement that this is a tool that in and of itself it has no content, you know, it's kind of the controversial statement that technology is neutral, which is not something I would agree with, but still, you know, it's just a tool, so it does whatever you want it to do. And to manifest an art piece by using supercomputers would be one thing, which is not necessarily what we are interested in, because how do you make an art piece rethinking this tool that on itself supposedly not creating anything in culture? So that's one of the challenges.
We understand art as an instrument of distance. What we choose to do here, we just wanted to go beyond this typical digital part of computer. We wanted to go into the materiality of computer. So, I mean, to smell it, to see it as an object, to listen to the machine, how it runs. But on the other side, also from distance, to observe the invisible part of this object. As Spela said, technology is not neutral. So what actually shapes this object? Actually, through our quite short research, came to the conclusion that this is not really only scientific computational tool, but it's also a tool for manifestation of political priorities. So who is defining what these computers are. Is this really only scientific purpose, or it's also, we can say, political or social tool? Society, through politics, defines these priorities, what we are going to calculate. So, new drugs, the weather, engineering, and so on. But why don't we calculate some other issues that we have? I believe this kind of perspective can come only with a collaboration between scientists, artists, and philosophers. When we start to interact this kind of thought, then you go beyond your own pathologies. And this is where, when we say we want to go beyond our personal artistic pathologies, of course, we have quite narrow understanding. We cannot have such a complex understanding in just, let's say, in one person, in just one artist. I mean, come on. What really matters are these intersections, are these, let's say, 20th century formed these fortresses of knowledge, you know, science, art. They are manifested through the differences. What we see for the 21st century are what's between them, what's mutual between art and science, what we can share. And this is way more important for, and these collaborations are more important than what comes out at the end.
What Mihai and Spieler have said is very important, and indeed it's something that we have to communicate to a wider audience, that although a supercomputer is often seen as a fortress, and it's photographed as a large piece of metal with cables and flashing lights and spinning fans and disks, actually, without the human element, it has no purpose at all. A supercomputer can do nothing without the software that runs on it. And in turn, the software can do nothing without the scientists or the programmers who develop that software. So actually, there is a very human element to supercomputing that's really hidden from most people and in most presentations of how scientific computing works. From the people that tend to the machine day after day, in some sense, these machines are very delicate and very fussy, and they need lots of love and attention in the way that your laptop doesn't when you throw it in a bag and take it on an airplane or do your email on the beach and so on. But also, the people that use supercomputers are actually very much everyday scientists. They work in labs, they work in offices, they work in different places around the world. They connect to a supercomputer which sits in a data center somewhere, potentially quite remote from them. And in some cases, they will never even see that supercomputer. But the work we do at the moment perhaps only touches it's the tip of the iceberg, if you like. The scientists we work with, I think, benefit a lot from supercomputing, but there's so many other areas of science, of research more generally, that could benefit from supercomputing. The issue we face is it isn't an instant win. You can't turn up with your problem and 2 days later walk away with a much better understanding or a new solution or a new technique. Often the investment to transform your research into something that works on a supercomputer and that benefits from the order of magnitude improvements that usually come from supercomputing can take months to achieve. And all of this is involved with people and a whole range of people, from electronic engineers through the project managers like me to people who go out and explain supercomputing to scientists and attract their attention and interest, to the actual scientists who in the end are giving meaning to the data that these computers produce and drawing conclusions from it. So I think it's really good that we've picked up on that human element. For me, I think it's something that I would really appreciate if we could push that more, either through this project or otherwise.
Do you think it would be better to have the artist in residence at the beginning of a project and over the 4 years, because obviously you will be somewhere else in 3 year time, and specifically in this case of a long period of time is meaningful?
I mean, what we all do is research, and we all have different outcomes from our research. Some outcomes are, let's say, new technologies, papers, artworks, and so on. I would go for a mutual research project where we all share same issues, but we approach them with different perspectives, different methodologies. I would really more focus on the mutual research.
You seem to agree, George.
I do. From my perspective, one of the questions I had early on was how artists' time frames compare to science time frames. In supercomputing, we typically have 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, even longer projects. I wasn't sure if that was a time frame that fitted well with the process of developing artwork, whether that would seem something very slow to you or something that would be sort of difficult to accommodate in the work that you do. But if it were, and where it is possible to do that, I think having artists involved from the beginning is very important for actually ensuring that their contribution is equally valued. There is a significant risk, especially in the mechanism that's set up within FEAT, and this isn't a criticism of FEAT because I think as a pilot it's doing a very good job, that this is seen as an added value or possibly a distraction or possibly a novelty. And in the end, the research project will still deliver against the commitments it made when it was funded, irrespective of how this FEAT collaboration works. But actually, if this is really to achieve something more significant, then the artistic role and the role of the artist has to be embedded fully in the project, and it has to be part of the commitment of the project to deliver.
Artists that are working with technology and science in, through collaboration, we have to learn the lingo of the technologists, and we are constantly probing them, trying to get our messages across. We use, it's kind of like an experiment. Every time you start with a different type of explanation, and sometimes, or usually finally, it works, we are on the same page. But at the moment, I think it's more the artists doing this effort rather than, I would say in general, the fields. Of the two fields, the artists are making the effort. When it comes on this one-to-one interaction, I think it's a bit different, where as human to human, we seem to contribute and understand and try to communicate quite, equally then.
What we learned from the supercomputers, in spite they're so super and so great, they're just the simplifications of being human. And this human part, it's becoming more and more important. It's really not about new technologies. What we find out. It's not really about what's the next form of technology and use, what's going to be. But I believe it's more a question of what we are becoming through this process. And I believe these collaborations help us become different, at least. I can't say more advanced or more sophisticated, but I believe we are becoming more human through collaborations between art, philosophy, and science in these kind of opportunities.
Des pastilles. Ear à sucer pour l'oreille, Candy.